Thanks for downloading this PoetryFoundation.org podcast. If you haven't already subscribed and you'd like to receive this podcast automatically every week, you can subscribe on iTunes. Just go to the iTunes store and type Poetry Foundation into the search bar. There's also a link on our website, PoetryFoundation.org. This is the PoetryFoundation.org podcast for the week of March 12, 2007. I'm Curtis Fox. This week, Trouble in the Big City. Walt Whitman was not only America's first great poet, he was America's first great urban poet. He celebrated aspects of the city, New York City, that many of us today might find distasteful. The crush of crowds, even the smells.
I do not ask any more delight. I swim in it as in a sea. There's something in staying close to men and women and looking on them and in the contact and odor of them that pleases the soul well. All things please the soul, but these please the soul well.
Actor Jeffrey Wright reading from Walt Whitman's I Sing the Body Electric. Cities have always inspired poets, but they've gotten so expensive. Poets can't afford to live in cities anymore. In New York, Manhattan rents have driven a lot of poets to Brooklyn, where I live and work. But even here, prices are getting crazy. In fact, my family may soon be priced out of the city. So I thought I'd play a few urban poems that will hopefully discourage people from moving here and driving up prices even further. The first poem is called Subway Seethe by J. Allen Rosser.
This is about something that people who live in cities deal with all the time. That's that little or big shove someone gives you when they're in a hurry to get to their train or their taxi, and the thoughtlessness that's behind it.
J. Allen Rosser lives in Athens, Ohio, and teaches at Ohio University, but she seems all too familiar with my fair city.
It's so common when you're rushing around trying to do something, but when you're the one shoved, the irritation can build inside, and I think this is just a way of to vent that sense of wrongedness and to play it out as far as I could. Just try to imagine what could really have caused that moment of shoving and how the world might be so different if there were fewer shovers.
Here is J. Allen Rosser reading her poem, Subway Seethe.
What could have been the big to-do that caused him to push me aside on that platform? Was a woman who knew there must be some good even inside an ass like him on board that train? Charity? Francis? His last chance in a ratty string of last chances? Jane? Surely in all of us is some good. Better love thy neighbor, buddy, lest she shove back. Maybe I should. It's probably just a cruddy downtown interview leading to some cheap tie careerist dull cul-de-sac he's speeding to. Can he catch up with his soul? Really, what was the freaking crisis? Did he need to know before me if the lights searching the crowd's eyes were those of our train, or maybe the train of who he might have been, the person his own heart-numbing, me-shoving anxiety about being prevents him from ever becoming? How has his thoughtlessness defiled who I was before he shoved me? How might I be smiling now if he'd smiled, hanging back, as though he might have loved me?
J. Allen Rosser reading Subway Seethe. J. Allen Rosser's latest book is called Misery Prefigured, out from Southern Illinois University Press. You can also read a generous sampling of her poems on our website, poetryfoundation.org. Now to a poem about another unpleasant yet very common urban phenomenon. It's called Chant. It's by Tom Slay, a poet who teaches at the City University of New York and lives in Brooklyn. When he wrote this poem, Slay had just been into
Sid's Hardware, which is a big hardware store right in downtown Brooklyn, and I went down into the loading dock under the building to pick up my whatever it was, and a fight sort of broke out.
A racial spat between a salesman and a black Puerto Rican customer who accuses the salesman of unfairly serving a white man before him.
And it made me begin to think about material culture, the kinds of things we expect from one another racially and as customers and as people who are supposedly serving customers. And that's how this poem got started.
After witnessing the dispute down in the loading dock, the speaker in the poem imagines the city around him as a Tower of Babel built out of consumer products, while people using the same language seem only able to speak at cross purposes. Here's Tom Slay reading Chant.
Fountain of speech that would render us transparent, gone all muddy at the source. Nimbus of anger, that ball-peen hammer pounding faintly in the temples. The Puerto Rican man in dapper wingtips and leather car coat shouting, I'm the customer, I paid my money, now get me my stuff, his eyes boring in. Oh, the no-good black man, and you, Blanco, he waits on you before he waits on me. The kid he shouts at exploding, who you telling to get your stuff? I'm the worker, you're not my dumbass father. Addled subjectivity fizzing over like a Pepsi in reruns of a sitcom in which white father-in-law and black son-in-law mouth scripted barbs, actors vying to be funny in All in the Family, laugh track laughing at that redneck, that jungle bunny, that racist, that fool. Spanglish, Arabic, Yiddish, Urdu, Brooklynese, Haitian French. Cruising full steam on minimum wage labor, the forklift hefts pallets for the men to unload. Pyramids of paint cans, prefab windows, doors, horn of plenty glutting the aisles. Motors underdrone, slurring some warning to the species, but the frequencies too high or too low to be heard. Gunite sprayed posts and blackened beams hollowing out a cavern under the city's towers. Omnium Gatherum on J Street that calls itself Sid's Hardware. If we don't have it, you don't need it. Helium balloon feeling that makes you feel you're floating, dissolving to air, as their voices arguing reverberate down pilings pinging in the bedrock two stories down, while in other basements, other voices ripple down the girders like tuning forks set quavering, the city's granite schist singing back to the shadowed mouths carved out of neon, voices tremulous with laughter, anger, tears, some emotion too particular to be named. Thesis, antithesis, synthesis, in which all things human and material are explained in words that don't slide off and that everyone can understand. Though who controls such words? Who could say them? Refrigerator, osterizer, dehumidifier, piling higher and higher into a Tower of Babel being washed by polyglot waters. Rivers of speech inundating the goods stacked up. Swarming of atoms shaping into forms that stock the shelves, floor to ceiling, as breath sighs over matter, like a wave playing over rock, immovably eroding away.
Tom Slay reading Chant. Slay puts a contemporary twist on the old Tower of Babel story. In the poem, it's consumer culture that has created its own tower, otherwise known as the city. The desire to be as great as God has been replaced by a desire to acquire goods, and both lead to a Babel where nobody understands each other anymore. The people in Sid's Hardware all speak English, but it's as if the language itself has been stripped of its ability to make meaning, to communicate and unify us. Our Tower of Babel is being eroded by rivers of meaningless speech.
refrigerator, osterizer, dehumidifier, piling higher and higher into a tower of Babel, being washed by polyglot waters, rivers of speech inundating the goods stacked up. Swarming of atoms shaping into forms that stock the shelves, floor to ceiling, as breath sighs over matter, like a wave playing over rock, immovably eroding away.
Tom Slay's most recent book is Far Side of the Earth, out from Houghton Mifflin. Do let us know what you think of this podcast, where our motto is
Better love thy neighbor, buddy, lest she shove back.
Our email address is podcast@poetryfoundation.org. The music used in this program comes from the Claudia Quintet. For the PoetryFoundation.org podcast, I'm Curtis Fox. Thanks for listening.